Please do stand for our first hymn, Lord for the Years. Please do take a seat. We meet today in the presence of God. We meet to commit ourselves to work in faith for reconciliation between the nations, so that all people may live together in freedom, justice, and peace. We want to pray for all in bereavement, disability, and pain who continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We want to remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. Let us confess to God the sins and shortcomings of the world, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil divisions and hatred. Let us confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek and establish the peace which God wills for his children. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. May the God of love and power forgive us our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord.
The first reading this morning is written in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. But we ought also always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. To risk stating the obvious, today is Remembrance Sunday. And Remembrance Sunday is about remembering people. People of bravery and courage. People who risked everything for their friends, family, and country. And people who sacrifice themselves for others. We remember them to ensure that their sacrifices are respected and honoured, and to show our love and gratitude. And we also remember them as examples, examples of courage, of love and self-sacrifice. Often the history we learn at school is all about events and dates, big things. But it is important that we remember the people. People who show something good, something precious, something worth copying. As Christians, we believe that people are made in the image of God. And we know we're a long way from perfect. And both Christians and non-Christians can often do a good job of hiding this image of God under a pile of rubbish and nastiness. But sometimes the image of God, a God of love and self-sacrifice, shines through. I never knew my grandfather, my dad's dad. He died when my dad was only 18. When I was a boy, I used to enjoy the heroic war films, like The Longest Day and The Great Escape, and Where Eagles Dare. And I really hoped that my granddad had been a fighter pilot, or a tank commander, or a commando. And I remember being a bit disappointed to find out that granddad was an ambulance driver in the First World War. The hard, unsung heroics of driving an ambulance seemed a bit lacking in excitement for an 11-year-old boy. As I've got a little bit older, I think I've changed my mind a bit. And the fact that Walter Hannon was an ambulance driver became more interesting to me. I remember asking my dad about why his father had taken that choice. Was he a pacifist? Was he a conscientious objector? My dad was always very realistic. He didn't want us to build up ideas that didn't really have any grounds on evidence. And he believed it was all to do with driving. Walter Hannon was a member of a very tiny minority. In 1915, he was a working class man who had a driving license. And he was almost automatically selected to drive something, and he ended up driving an ambulance. My dad reckoned that is probably what saved his life and what led to my dad and to me. Over time, I've come to think more highly of my granddad's choice of service. With the powerful film Hacksaw Ridge a couple of years ago coming out, I don't know if anybody saw it, it's a hard film to watch. But it's a film about a young American soldier called Desmond Doss, which is a great name. He enlisted in the US Army when they entered the war in 1941, immediately. Straight in there, one of the first in line. But Desmond was a devout Christian. And he enlisted in the infantry and then told them he wasn't going to carry a gun. Which you can imagine caused quite a lot of trouble for him. He was eventually allowed to serve as a combat medic. And at the Battle of Okinawa at Hacksaw Ridge, when night had fallen and the battlefield was strewn with American soldiers, dead and dying, he alone went back onto the battlefield and began carrying wounded soldiers to safety. He saved the lives of between 60 and 100 men that night. He never fired a shot, but was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by the United States government. Charles Herbert Horton. I like names, and there's some wonderful names in this. Charles Herbert Horton, known as Bert, was 19, just 19, when the First World War broke out. He just graduated from Birmingham University and immediately joined the Royal Army Medical Corps. Another sincere Christian and a pacifist, he said he wanted to save lives, not take them. In his entry for June 1915, he wrote the following in his diary. I decided to opt for volunteering for the South Midland Field Ambulance, which is based in barracks on Great Brook Street in Birmingham. I know little about the Corps, but from friends who have already joined, I'm convinced that service in a field ambulance offers me what I want. Full involvement in the risks and hardships which the rest of my generation has accepted without the obligation to take life. In January 1916, Bert was shipped to France with his division, and on the 1st of July 1916, he took part in the first day of the Battle of the Somme. On that day, in the British Army alone, there were more than 57,000 casualties. That is almost the combined population of Letchworth and Hitchin. Over the next 5 months, the British Army would lose a staggering 350,000 men. Bert was there throughout, finding and helping wounded soldiers on the battlefield, binding their wounds and carrying them to safety in the darkness, through the mud and the shellfire. Ernest Gregory, wonderful names, was a registered conscientious objector and refused to fight. He was nicknamed the Conchie, and he had a lot of trouble. He volunteered as a stretcher bearer. at Passchendaele, the Third Battle of Ypres, where my granddad also served. I do wonder if they met each other. Ernest was awarded the Military Medal for bravery in the field, for bringing in the wounded from the field in terrible conditions, under fire, through shell holes and mud filled with water up to their armpits. And then lastly, but certainly not least, there was William Coltman, Bill Coltman, Lance Corporal William Harold Coltman. He was a stretcher bearer in the North Staffordshire Regiment, born near Burton-on-Trent, where he worshipped and taught in the Sunday school, another devout Christian. He served along the Western Front all the way through from 1915 to 1918. During his service, he became the most decorated ranking soldier in the entire British Army. He had joined up as a rifleman in 1915 and served on the front line. But after spending a night trapped under heavy fire in a foxhole, listening to the cries of his wounded friends and comrades all around him, he vowed he would never again shoulder a rifle, and he requested to retrain. In the last 2 years of the war, he was awarded the Distinguished Conduct Medal twice, the Military Medal twice, all while acting as a stretcher bearer. Then on the 3rd of October 1918, William heard that wounded men had been left behind when the North Staffords had retreated from a fierce battle at a place called Manikin Hill. With shells falling and under withering machine gun fire, William headed out to look for the wounded. He found each one of them, one at a time, patched them up and carried them back to British lines. For the next 2 solid days, he kept up his efforts. He was awarded the Victoria Cross. When making his recommendation, William's commanding officer wrote the following: "This very gallant non-commissioned officer dressed and carried wounded for 48 hours without rest. His efforts did not cease until the last wounded man had been attended to."
We are going to sing again now, so please do stand if you're able for our next 2 songs, "Love the Lord with All Your Heart" and "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Please do take a seat. Claire is going to come and lead us in our prayers. If you are separated from your small children that you've brought, please would you go and collect them or go and sit with them in preparation for our act of remembrance in a few moments' time.
We've heard from Martin about heroes, stretcher bearers and ambulance drivers. And we've got some heroes to help us in our prayers this morning. Don't worry, you can come to the hall afterwards and I will give you one. If you haven't prayed before, this is about talking to God. Join in or think about the people who you are reminded of as we pray together. Let's pray. This is a twisted, broken cream egg, a broken hero. Thank you, Jesus, for people who have died in conflict across the world and through history. Thank you for the people here this morning who have served their country. Thank you for our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents who have served this country. We also pray for the families and friends of people who have died in wars and conflict. This is a dairy milk, a very ordinary hero. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ordinary heroes of our lives, for our families or carers and those we are with every day. We pray for people who are lonely because they don't have a hero who is around. This is a whisper. A whisper is a quiet hero. We pray for the quiet heroes in our community and in our families. We pray for the people who are heroes because they get food on the table. Heroes who manage to get up in the morning when things are hard, physically or mentally. Lord Jesus, we ask you to give them enough strength for the coming day. We're going to pray for some more heroes in a moment, but first of all, I'm going to hand back to Martin, Sarah, and we'll come back to our heroes after we've held silence for them.
In a moment, we are going to hear the sound of Big Ben striking and what is going on in Whitehall today. Can I invite you all, please, to stand for our act of remembrance? We will say some words, we will listen to Big Ben, and then we will hold our 2 minutes silence. Let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of mankind. They shall not grow old as we that are left to grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we shall remember them.